This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. We're glad to have you with us today. Hurricane Irma, now Tropical Storm Irma, is still battering Florida, although many areas appear to have escaped the worst. After first making landfall in the Florida Keys on Sunday, the storm powered north along the western coast of Florida. Irma has now been downgraded to a tropical storm, as I mentioned, but at one point it packed wind gusts over 140 miles an hour. Almost 6 million people are without power, nearly 60% of the state's customers. Fortunately, millions of people heeded warnings and they fled the state for safety, and that may have saved a lot of lives. Back with us to bring us up to speed on the latest with Irma is Tim Padgett, the America's editor for WLRN Public Radio in Miami. Tim, thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
Tim, I think you're in your own backyard right now for the first time in Miami, right? What are you seeing?
I have just returned from covering the hurricane over the weekend, and what I'm seeing, what I'm surveying, is far less damage than I had anticipated. It's hard to express what a major bullet we dodged here in this state, and particularly in Miami. 3 days ago, we were staring at a Category 5 hurricane barreling practically right up my street into Miami. And I've come back home, and really all I'm seeing is just downed branches and no flooding. It's just a far better scenario than we had ever hoped to come out of.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, especially in your neighborhood, Tim. Tell us about some of the other areas around Florida, including the Florida Keys and some of the areas that may have been harder hit.
Well, the Keys were badly hit. When Irma made landfall at the Keys yesterday morning, it was about a Category 4 storm. Now, of course, that packs devastating winds, but for the Keys, the real problem is what we call storm surge. It is such a low-lying area there, right smack dab in the middle of the Florida Straits. And what that brings is what we call storm surge, this water of wall that can be just as devastating to property and lives as the wind is. And so now that we are at daybreak here, I think a lot of us are going to be assessing just how badly the Keys, and particularly Key West, got hit in this. One of the fortunate things for the Gulf Coast was that the hit that the Keys took, that landfall helped to break up the storm just a little bit, weaken its center, so that by the time it hit the southwest coast of Florida, it was beginning to diminish, which is why it ran up the coast as a Category 2 storm instead of the Category 4 that we had feared.
And so describe a little bit more about the path after that, Tim. What happened as Irma moved north up the length of Florida?
It began to lose its eye. It hit places like Naples first, and those communities further south, like Naples, did get hit very badly, because we are talking about still a very potent storm when it made landfall on the Florida Peninsula. But as it moved up the western coast, as I said, that eye, that very tight eye that Irma had when it was out in the ocean, began to break up, began to diminish. And in fact, by the time it got up to the St. Petersburg, Tampa Bay area, very heavily populated, the eye was almost missing. And that's when we knew that the Bay Area up there, very heavily populated, was also dodging a bullet, because when the storm begins to lose its eye, it just becomes a very bad tropical rainstorm rather than a potent hurricane.
Tim Padgett, you're there in your backyard in the Miami area, but you're also the America's editor for WLRN, and that means you have your eye on the Caribbean. Some of the devastating damage across Caribbean islands may have been lost in some of this American coverage. Can you bring us up to speed on what we know about the total damage now across the Caribbean?
Right. It was worse out on the eastern fringe of the Caribbean, out in areas like the Leeward Islands and the British and U.S. Virgin Islands. Those islands out in the east, particularly the small ones like St. Thomas and St. Martin, were just genuinely devastated. That's where you saw the highest death toll. I think almost 25 people, they have counted, did die in the storm out in that part of the Caribbean. The only good news really in the Caribbean was that as it departed those smaller islands out on the eastern Caribbean, it took a path that left it north of the coast of the bigger islands like Puerto Rico, Hispaniola, which is where the Dominican Republic and Haiti are, and particularly Cuba, although Cuba did get hit a little more directly than we had expected. And that's what you had a lot of very destructive activity along the north coast of Cuba, particularly in the resort areas there. However, so far we are seeing no reports of deaths. And Havana itself did get very badly flooded in this storm. I think they had to evacuate thousands of tourists in some areas. But again, it could have been worse. And fortunately, we're not seeing any fatalities on Cuba either.
So we're really happy to hear, Tim, that your area of Miami, as you said, dodged a major bullet, but plenty of damage across your state of Florida. What does recovery start to look like now?
Mostly it's the issue of power. As you mentioned, 6 million people, and that number will probably grow, are without power. I think Florida Power and Light here in South Florida, about 85, if not 90% of its customers woke up this morning with no power, and that's going to take days, if not weeks, in some areas to restore. And the last time we had a really major storm here in South Florida was 12 years ago, in 2005, with Hurricane Wilma. And people do remember just how long it took to get their electricity back then. For some, it took months.
Tim Padgett, very happy to hear that your home is okay and that you're okay. Thank you for joining us to bring us up to speed. Tim Padgett, the America's editor for WLRN Public Radio in Miami.
Thanks for having me.
Well, over the weekend, residents across Florida boarded up their homes and tied down boats to guard against Hurricane Irma's destructive high winds. Many cities appear to have been spared the worst, but storm surge is still a major concern in many areas. High tide came and went in the pre-dawn hours, and Floridians were watching closely to see if the passing storm would bring high seas and flooding. Ben Kurtman is here with me now. He's a professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Miami Rosenstiel School of Marine and Atmospheric Science. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let's talk about the storm surge around the coast of Florida. What areas were hardest hit with storm surge? What areas were spared?
Well, the areas hardest hit, I think, are going to be we're going to find out in the as the daylight hours come. The Keys, Key West, Key Largo were hit pretty hard. Naples, of course, is going to have very bad storm surge, and I suspect we're going to see some pretty bad storm surge in Fort Myers. Tampa Bay, we were initially expecting some pretty bad storm surge, but the storm weakened and stayed further inland, and so Tampa Bay was relatively spared. On the other side, there was pretty, 1 to 3 feet of storm surge throughout much of the Miami-Dade County and going up to Fort Lauderdale, so a lot of the coastal zone had, as much as 3 feet of water in streets and river banks. So there's going to be some serious damage throughout the state.
So from the meteorologist's and the scientist's perspective, what exactly is storm surge? What happens?
So the simplest way to think about it is the wind is blowing constantly and pushing the water out in front of the storm. And so when the storm comes inland, that wind is on shore. It's pushing the water up onto the land. So what ends up happening is basically the wind is pushing the sea out into the land. You know, if you have 5 feet or 10 feet of storm surge, a house can be completely inundated and, you're swimming in the bottom level.
Well, you work, Professor Kurtman, in Miami. You live and work there. I know that you evacuated from Miami, and we had some officials before the weekend in anticipation of the storm talking about the danger of storm surge to that metropolitan area, not just water coming in over the beach, but water coming up the canals and even in some ways up through the limestone, up through the earth.
That's right. So Miami is extremely, the land is extremely porous. It's almost like a sponge. And so you can, as the water gets pushed into the land from above, it gets pushed in from below. Also, you know, the seawater is more dense than freshwater. So it pushes up the freshwater table from below. And then you have a ton of rainfall coming from the sky. So you can have flooding in very remote areas.
You know, one of the things that we've been asking the scientists who've been joining us over the last couple of weeks as we covered Hurricane Harvey in Texas and now Irma is how much of these events can be attributed to climate change when you look at the data. What do we know about the connection between climate change and storm surge? How are they related?
The way I think about how storm surge and the storms in general are connected to climate change is that we can't blame any specific storm on that storm is because of climate change. But what we can say is the storm may be a little bit stronger. The frequency of intense storms, the magnitude of the Category 3, 4, and 5 storms are going to increase. And The atmosphere is warmer, so it can hold more moisture, so we're going to wring out more rainfall associated with these storms. The ocean is warmer, so these storms have a better fuel source, a stronger fuel source, so they're going to be stronger, which is going to lead to more storm surge. As sea level rises, I mean, there's so many effects. As sea level rises, then, you know, you have another, let's say you have another foot of sea level, add that on top of the storm surge and the wave action, then, you know, you can overtop the coral ridge and that cuts through Coconut Grove, where I live, and have storm surge penetrate all the way through western Miami-Dade County.
Ben Kirtman, you live in Coral Gables. As you mentioned, there's a reef that guards the beach there, and you're watching for the storm surge from your evacuation point. I guess you're in Atlanta right now. Looking down at where you're from, what does it look like in terms of the storm surge and the damage?
Well, I think the worst damage in the places near me are the coastal zones in parts of Coral Gables, Coconut Grove, the Brickell area. We're seeing some street flooding, lots of down trees and bushes and plants. And so, overall, I think Miami was lucky. The storm initially moved much, much further west than initially anticipated. And then many other parts of Florida were also lucky in that it stayed inland. We were also very lucky that it lost a lot of strength when it went across Cuba and interacted with the land. So I think we're going to know much better today as we make assessments, and there are going to be some significant costs of recovery. But overall, I think many parts of Florida were lucky. I remain very concerned about the Florida Keys and parts of Naples. I'm very hopeful that we didn't lose anybody, but I am very concerned.
Ben Kirtman, professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Miami, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And we've been hearing from so many of you about your experiences with Irma this weekend.
This is Jermaine from Florida. I'm a nurse in lockdown at a local hospital. We are in the path of Irma. I have family riding it out, seeing if they can save house and animals. I'm afraid for them. It angers me that we have three hurricanes, unprecedented, and people swear global warming is fake.
This is Sophia from Boynton Beach, Florida. I am being impacted by Hurricane Irma. I live in Boynton Beach. I evacuated to Austin, Texas on September 8th to be with my dad and sister, as it was also my birthday on September 9th. My cat is in an animal hospital in Lantana. My car is at Fort Lauderdale Airport. My jet ski is in Delray. My storage unit is in West Boynton. It'll be interesting to see what survives. I'm rooting for my cat. Everything else can be replaced.
I'm rooting for your cat too, Sophia. Your stories and your lives as Irma passes through Florida and heads through the South. Call us with your story. We're at 877-8-MY-TAKE.